Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Tonight, Panorama focuses on the terrorist gangs who follow one small second division club, Millwall, in London's Dockland. And that is involved, including in our film, language you don't usually hear on television.
Ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting from beautiful South Bermondsey, this is Achtung Millwall.
Once welcome, twice welcome, thrice welcome to Zampa Road, Millwall versus Oldham. You are listening, dear listener, to Achtung Millwall. My name is Nick Hart. This is the number one podcast on the Millwall scene. Welcome to today's final home game of the season, dear listener. Playoff football beckons for us. There is a scenario at the start of today's events where if Walsall lose, I think if Bradford lose, and if Gillingham win, there's a few ifs, then we're still with an outside chance of automatic promotion, but more probably we're playing for playoff to confirm playoff football today. Good crowd, sunny day, foolish looking den. I reckon we're talking 11,000 or so. Certainly the cold blow and the Docker stand are looking reasonably full. Today's team news, some good news, the return of Shane Ferguson to the starting 11. Still no place, unfortunately, in the squad for Lee Gregory, who's still down with this illness, stomach issue, whatever it might be, muscular, I don't know what he's got. He's not in the starting 11, he's not sitting on the bench today, dear listener. So today's starting 11, Jordan Archer across the back line, Marlon Romeo, Byron Webster, Mark Beavers and Joe Martin. Midfield, Ben Thompson, Jimmy Abdu, Chris Taylor and Shane Ferguson. Up front, Aidan O'Brien and Steve Morrison. Sitting on the bench, we've got Ford, Edwards, Craig, Upson, Twardek, Onyedimma and Jamie Philpott. So Lions attacking the away end of the first half in their familiar blue and white. Oldham in all red today. Busy old day for me, listeners. I know that I'm not trying to play the sympathy card here, but busy old day for me selling the magazine outside. We sold out quite quickly today. I was actually in the ground 10 minutes before kickoff, which is unusual on first selling day. We've shifted the lot. So big thank you to everyone that bought the magazine today. With, of course, Jordan Archer, our player of the season, our CBL player of the season and the official Millwall Supporters Club player of the season on the front cover. Well done to Jordan. I think he's a fantastic goalkeeper. Whether we'll keep him over the summer times transfer toing and froing, who knows? All that I ask of Millwall Football Club is if we do sell Jordan Archer, that we get some kind of loan back deal and we get top dollar for him. Top dollar. If you're listening, Andy Amber, that's what we want to see. Ben Thompson just taking a bit of a tumble in the midfield there. He's come out for the first minute. Too often in the past, our club has sold our talent too cheaply, and that's what we want to see change. We have got a talented squad that's produced a situation that few of us would have expected back at the start of the season. Player football, none of us really, we would have settled for mid-table respectability, most of us. None of us would have thought about playoffs. But here we are, and we've looked good. The squad, I think, has come to believe in itself as the season has gone along. But if we do come to sell some talent, then it's got to be at the correct price. A lot of money. Memory serves, the Oldham away fixture was back in the winter time, January. Am I correct in saying that, listeners? That was also notable for the first appearance of Jed Wallace on the wing. That brief but brilliant cameo from Jed Wallace. Long, grim trip up north for that one, Oldham. Arse end of nowhere. This is Morrison on the right-hand side, wins a corner. Three and a half minutes. First Mill corner of the game. So, yeah, Jed Wallace was his opening appearance. Made a fantastic run and cross for the opening goal up there, if I'm remembering the correct match. I'm sure it was. So it's Taylor with the corner on the right-hand side. It's floated into the Oldham box. There's up Byron Webster. 1-0, Byron Webster. Headed goal from close range. Chris Taylor's cross. 1-0 to the Lions. Big bird. Let them all come down to the den. Basic crossing, I'm just watching the replay, into the centre of the six-yard box. Byron Webster, as he's done quite a bit this season, reaching the ball, heading in, close range, 1-0 to the Lions. Good start. Ticket sales, I couldn't get a ticket for the Gillingham game. Did you get one, listeners? I didn't get one. I got stuck in an endless loop of being stuck in an online queue. Archer fumbles the ball away there. It runs clear to the edge of the penalty. Oldham retain possession. This is the seven on the right-hand side as I look. And the Lions will clear. So, yeah, it was like a modern-day version of purgatory where I'm stuck on the internet in a queue. And I also rang because I wanted to get a ticket, as you can appreciate. And I got into an endless loop of Dino standing, telling me that I'm in a... My call is valuable to the club. And I'm to wait. And then it just all died when they would have cut the tickets sold out. So that's the modern day version of the medieval idea of purgatory, a place neither heaven nor hell, but like a waiting room whilst God judges you and your conduct in your life, whether you deserve to go up or down. And in purgatory, Dino Standing inhabits purgatory. That's what I found when I rang in. So I didn't get a ticket. 7.5 minutes, Oldham on the attack, ball into the middle. Moment there where the onrushing midfield man had a moment to shoot, but he hesitated. But Oldham retain possession as I'm talking to you. Passing the ball around the middle penalty. There's a cross into the box taken comfortably enough by a genuine goalkeeping prospect, Jordan Archer. Player of the season, worthy player of the season. Lee Gregory came in second. My vote went to Lee Gregory, I'll be absolutely honest, on up front. Transparency being my middle name. Strange middle name to have, but there it is. It's Nick Transparency Hart. Third place, bizarrely, went to Ben Thompson. Now, this is where I'm going to take issue with all you Mill fans out there who voted for Ben Thompson. I understand that he's a prospect. I understand the boy is a talent. I understand he's one of our own. I get all that. But player of the season, he hasn't played the full season. Steve Morrison, who has played the full season, came in fourth. And I think that was harsh on Morrison for young Ben Thompson to be placed above him. As talented as the boy is. And his move just breaks down as I'm talking to you. So harsh on Morrison to come in fourth. I know there are some out there that don't love him very much for whatever reason. I think he's done brilliantly well this season for us, Steve Morrison. His experience up front, some of the finishing he's had recently when Gregory's been out of the game, has been top draw. So hard on him. I think he deserved better than fourth place. Atmosphere's good in here today, dear listener. Stakes are high. What a place, what a theatre of football the Den is when the stakes are high. Where else would you want to watch your football? I can't think anywhere else. I was watching Leicester play, who they played the other night, they won the game, they won 1-0, almost clinching the championship, and they're all sitting there with silly plastic clappers, the whole crowd with plastic clappers, to make what the commentator describes as a fantastic atmosphere. You want a fantastic atmosphere, you come down here, dear Sky commentator, not that old plastic clapper pony. Can you imagine this place if we were on the brink of winning the Premier League? Wouldn't be no plastic clappers other than to be thrown at the opposition players in tight situations. That's what plastic clappers would be done with at the Den, dear listener. You know it and I know it. I think the rest of the world knows it as well, actually. Fantastic bit of pressing work by Morrison. Forces almost an error from the defender back to the goalkeeper. The goalkeeper plays an inch-perfect ball. It had to be inch-perfect. They played their way out of trouble there, in all fairness to them. But it was fantastic pressing by Steve Morrison on the right wing there to force that situation, that moment, on 11 minutes. 16 minutes in, Mill leading it 1-0. A lot of possession for Oldham. We're sitting behind the ball in classic Mill style, away mode almost, I suppose you'd call it. That's been our style at home all season, to play away. We're sitting behind the ball, defence mode. Oldham getting a huge amount of possession. We've just got to be a little bit on our game. Another ball forward that's going to be offside. They're passing the ball reasonably well. Don't look potentially very dangerous at the moment, though I may be tempting fate, as is my want throughout my whole life. That's another subject for another podcast, the way I've tempted fate throughout my whole life, dear listeners. Morrison on the right-hand side now, in a tussle with that number five, shoulder to shoulder there. The five wins out on that occasion. Here's the five over on the right-hand side. Finds the 16 in space. and Taylor intercepts. Nicely done. Here come the Lions. Here's Morrison on the break. He chips in from distance. Oh my gosh! Beckham style from distance by Steve Morrison. Just over the crossbar. 19 minutes. Spectacular effort there by Steve Morrison. Real landmark effort. That the kind of effort you want to have gone in. From inside our own half, on the halfway line, about a yard over the halfway line, he shoots from distance, and that was about a yard over the crossbar. Unlucky Steve Morrison. Halfway through the first half, Lions back on the attack, the shot there blocked by Chris Taylor. Abdu wins it back on the edge of the Oldham area. They all retain possession again, coming very much into the game now, the Lions. It's Joe Martin from distance, it's hit the crossbar, top of the crossbar. Joe Martin's shot after all that. Floated from the right side, tipped the top of the crossbar, went over the goal kick. Lions looking dangerous every time we come forwards at the moment, listeners. I can't remember the last time I've ever been able to say that in recent years. Every time we come forwards, we're looking dangerous, but that is so in this game at the moment. Shane Ferguson's going to take the free kick on the left-hand side of the penalty area. Anticipation within the den. I'm old enough to remember those bars of chocolate with expectation, anticipation, the boys. Fries chocolate printed on them. I am old enough to remember that, dear listener. Boy, with expectation, that's what he'd have at the moment. Crossed into the mix, headed up and away. It's O'Brien can't out-muscle a defender that's going to run clear. Oldham on the attack here, the breakthrough in the defence. That's cleared nicely by Mark Beavers at the absolute death of that move. 32 and a half minutes. It's going to go for an Oldham corner. A momentary surge on the left-hand side into the box. Looked dangerous, cleared by Mark Beavers. A bunch of blokes coming in, suited and tired in front of me. A bit like Mormons or Jehovah's Witnesses. Very strange. Disconcerting. I'm surrounded by Stone Island and blokes. It's very weird. Suited and booted, like the Jehovah's Witnesses. They're going to try and sell me the Book of Mormon in a minute, like what happened to me the other week in Woolworth Road. There seems to be a lot of them about at the moment. As here comes that corner. Headed clear. 34 minutes. Oldham back on the attack down the left-hand side. There's a ball into the box. It's cleared nicely enough by Mark Beavers. Falls to Ben Thompson, no one moving for him in front though, and the move slightly breaks down, hoofed forward by Marlon down the right. This is Aidan O'Brien overrunning, beaten to the bounce by the Oldham defender there. 35 minutes approaches, it's 36 and a half minutes. Attacking throw-in, let's call it an attacking throw-in. It gives it a more positive spin than just a throw-in. It's an attacking throw-in for Marlon Romeo. Over by the Kent Flooring Company, co.uk. Kent Flooring UK, co.uk. Sign. Carpet and flooring specialists. London's number one flooring company. KentFlooringUK.co.uk. Free advert there. That's what we're going to do on this show. We're going to read out the advertisements around the side of the ground because I think they don't get enough coverage. These people put money into the club. And I'm going to read out their addresses on each show in future. On a whim, I've decided that's going to be a new theme for our show. 37 minutes, long ball forwards now. This is Beavers. Fires Steve Morrison. There's it down, almost sought out. Jimmy Abdu overrunning. Taylor wins the ball back on the right-hand side. Going to run out of play by the Beta Cars sign. About halfway inside the Oldham half. No details with Beta Cars. Minicab firm. But use them. Get on them. Look them up on the internet. Beta Cars. They'll pass the ball around with a little bit more precision than they did earlier on in the game. Here comes a four for Oldham. Ball into the mix there. It's going to be clear by Marlon. Ben Thompson in the midfield tussle. She wins. Marlon chips it forward. Finds Steve Morrison on the right-hand side. Ball into the box. Aidan O'Brien back heels it to Shane Ferguson. The far post slams it in from close. 2-0. Nice move. Morrison's cross. Critical. Back heel by Aidan O'Brien. Touch of flair. Finds Shane Ferguson on the left-hand post. Who slams it home for 2-0. Lions comfortably in front now. Let's watch it again on the big screen. Morrison's cross into the near post. O'Brien back heels it, trying to get it on target. It falls to Ferguson on the far post. Slams it in for close. 2-0. Nice move. The Mormons are impassive in front of them. Impassive. No reaction to that goal from the Mormons. Dancing in the Docker stand, dear listeners. They're bobbing up and down. E-I-O, E-I-O. Super Neil breaks out and a cold blow lane ends. The den's a buzz. Den's a buzz. Lions sitting very, very comfortably at the moment. Headed through ball from Ben Thompson. Morrison finds Taylor's shot on goal. Probably just need a little bit more power taken comfortably in the event by the yellow-clad goalkeeper. Nice move again, though. Nice clip shot from Taylor. Maybe just wanted a little bit more oomph on that effort there. Steve Morrison taking on two Oldham defenders. Doesn't win the throw-in to the derision, disagreement of the crowd over on the lower Docker stand, East Lower. 2 minutes extra time at the end of the first half, good listener. Here's Oldham on the attack. There's offside. Just talking to the chap next to me, he reckons that the Oldham put one of their supporters club sides out instead of a first team 11. One or two do look a little bit like it's the end of the season. Like they've been in the pie shop and the chip shop. Not enough time on the training ground, perhaps. But anyway, we'll settle for the 2-0 lead that we've got over them at the moment. Whether it is the Oldham supporters club side out there or not. Seven's drawing particular attention. He does have a particularly fat arse, I've got to say, for a professional footballer, and a slightly tubby gait. Steve Morrison, there's the half. 2-0. Good half of football for the Lions. Sat back early after taking the lead early. We've kept Oldham at bay for the half. They've passed the ball around with some precision, but no threat in front of goal. The Lions, as I said earlier on, do look dangerous each time they have to go on the attack. So that's a good half of football. Exactly what the situation demanded. Lions going at half-time 2 goals ahead.
Achtung, Mehlball.
Some half-time tweets for your listeners, your favourite part of the show, isn't it? Especially if you get named and mentioned. Mark Richfield says we're coasting so far, but Mark would like us to take it up a gear, step it up a gear, he says. Oldham are on the beach. Very true, they are on the beach, Mark. I think that they look a side that are totally switched off. We need to press on and make this count. I think there is a chance to get a good win under our belts today. Who knows what other results will do, but this is an opportunity for Millwall to press it home. Paul Green, formerly of the News Shopper, journalist, speculating about Charlton's demise into League One. Paul saying under the Belgian owners that they could easily fall into the fourth tier for the first time in their history. Who wants that? Come on, out there, who would want that? Really? You wouldn't want that, would you? Well, I would. But you do too. What was that? You do too. Okay. Quite a few of us do want Charlton to fall into the fourth tier for the first time in their history, Paul. Lions Live Radio, half-time Lions 2-0 up and well in control. Grumpy McGrimmis says, we're so in control in that half, you just know that the second half will be Swindon away all over again. Grumpy, living up to his name there, Grumpy McGrimmis. He's got like a minion-style avatar, Grumpy McGrimmis. Picture of a gingerbread man in the Oldham. I can't see them where I'm sitting, but apparently there is a depiction of a gingerbread man standing on the very back row of the Oldham away support. Not sure that there's no place in football for gingerbread men. I think that's probably the best I can say about that. And there is indeed a photo of a gingerbread man online right now. That's true. Now, we don't often do score checks from other grounds, but I'm going to do it today because it's all a bit relevant, isn't it? Wigan Mullering at Blackpool, 4-0 at the moment. The big game that we're looking at is Burton leading versus over Gillingham. Now, that if that happens, that confirms that we won't be getting into any second positions and will be confirmed in the playoffs. But it will also mean that Gillingham have to beat us next week if that remains so, and our game stays so. So they have to beat us to have any hope of playoff football. Now, again, no one wants to see Gillingham miss out on the playoffs, do they? Do they? What? You do? You want to see Gillingham? Okay. Some do want to see Gillingham miss out on the playoffs. And as it is at the moment, they'll have to beat us to get that next week. Today's game is actually a double header after today's match is over. The Millwall Lionesses will be playing the Yeovil Lionesses. So they're asking, Lions Radio is asking people to stick around and watch the Lionesses after the game. I'd love to, but I feel I've got to go and wash my hair tonight. This is Millwall, hopefully be our guest on the show after the today's coverage is over, says this is one of the most relaxed halves of football that he has seen in some time. In fact, it is so easy, it's boring. I don't mind being bored on this scale, listeners. And finally, David Lederkramer mentions the player number 7. I think the chap next to me was digging out during the game, Lee Croft, saying he's got a bit of timber on him. He does carry a bit of an arse on him, I've got to say. That's the number 7. Portly, I think, is probably the best description we can give him. David says, we couldn't have asked a better opposition. That Lee Croft has got a bit of timber on him. Timber, very true, very true. Some Millwall news while we're waiting at half-time. The Millwall youngsters have sealed a place in the Professional Development League 2 playoff semi-finals. Goals from Kyron Farrell and Joseph Otudeko, giving the Lions a 2-0 win at Ipswich on Monday afternoon. The Justin Skinner's under-21s will now go ahead and play Huddersfield who finished top of the Northern Section for a place in the final, the playoff final in their league. That's excellent. Well done to the under 21 development team. Good to see that the Lions now breeding a factory line of talent coming through for the future. Teams are out for the second half, dear listeners, as Hey Jude has switched off abruptly and the cones are being picked up by the Mill trainers. We're going to be ready to go any moment now for the second half. Away we go. Lions attacking the Coldblow Lane in second half, leading it by 2-0. Coasting, as many have put it, in the first half. We need to coast on and get a couple more, I reckon. Here comes Oldham down the right-hand side. Now, ball into the box. The five with a clear header. I just want to note that down in your collective notebooks. That five had a clear header there. Managed to get underneath it and put it up into the top tier of the away end. So that was a poorly executed chance. But I'm more concerned about the defensive error there that allowed him the chance and opportunity. But Oldham just playing the ball around outside our penalty. There's an old ball into the box. There's an opportunity. Fantastic reflex stop by Jordan Archer. From the 17 at close range, that should have been a goal. That should have been a goal. I'm going to watch it again on the replay now. Mill back down the other end of the pitch. It's a little chipped cross in from the 7. Nicely placed. It's flicked, headed on. It falls to the, is it the 17? In close range, and somehow Jordan Archer gets his knee to it and clears it. 48 minutes. Mill need to switch themselves on. Here come Oldham again. Ball falls over the top. This is the 17 now. Shots over the bar. Archer screaming at his defence, and rightly so, rightly so. Slack defence work, that's not good enough for Millwall. Yes, we're 2-0 ahead, yes, we're coasting. No space to be switching off in this situation. The 17 put the ball over the bar from a kind of an angled shot on the left-hand side of the penalty area there. Here comes Marlon. Takes on two defenders, goes past two defenders, wow. Still got the ball. Ball's, he's still going. Marlon Romeo, fantastic run. Can he cross it? He can't get a the shot was from too tight an angle. Almost a beautiful run into the box by Marlon Romeo. Just the audacity to take on man after man after man there. Probably just ran out of space. He was forced wide right, and perhaps a percentage ball was arguably across the box towards Aidan O'Brien. But anyway, he took the shot on. Goalkeeper's left actually quite a straightforward stop down low. Number 7. Right down in front of us, he's drawing some comment. Ball, there's hope for bald fat men everywhere, listeners. Croft, number 7. And he's got the nerve to put it outside the D of the corner flag. The crowd ain't going to let him get away with that. Here comes the corner from Fatty. Ball back here, that's headed on weakly onto target. Joel Nigel screaming at the referee there. Not sure what for. Ferguson has the ball clipped away from him. This is Joe Martin, just on the Oldham half. Gets clattered and wins a free kick. 52 and a half minutes. Ferguson, the free kick deep into the box. That's headed up. There's Morrison. There's a goal. Back across the box. Who got that? That was Webster again. He's on a hat-trick. Deep cross. Headed back by Steve Morrison. Byron Webster's on the other end of it. 3-0. Let's watch out the replay. Big cross. Morrison jumps high. He's back across the box and Byron. McBryron dives forward and heads it. 2 to Byron Webster now. He's on a hat trick. Abdu clips it inside. This is Taylor. Finds Ben Thompson central. Marlon overlaps. Here's Morrison. Nice 1-2 with Marlon. Can he get there? It'd have to be a greyhound to get that. Can't quite make it. And slams into the Camping International sign at the Coldblow Lane end. I can't read anything about their details, it's too far away, but what a nice move by the Lions on 55 minutes. 58 minutes, another Millwall corner, another chance for Big Bird to go forwards. Can he get the hat-trick? Can he get the hat-trick, dear listener? We want the hat-trick for Byron Webster. 59 minutes, in comes that corner, it's low. Joe Martin, oh, it's slammed over from close range. Joe Martin couldn't quite get enough on it. It fell to Byron Webster. They blasted it over the bar. Was that his moment? Webster, your shit, says the man next to me. That's the end of the 7. Two ripples of applause. Gonna get his dinner, is the opinion all around me. Gonna get a burger.
Mill substitution now. Fred's coming in. Who's coming out? It's going to be Ferguson coming out for Fred on your Denmark. Good round of applause for Shane Ferguson. Done well today. West up and rises to give him a round of applause as he leaves the pitch. Here's the 11 inside the Mill penalty area, taking on Marlon and Byron. Couldn't get it past them both. The ball's still bouncing around that 6-yard box there. It's a little moment's hesitation, but Taylor's going to get it cleared on the left-hand side. So coming up to the last 17 of regular time. Mill's looked a little bit casual at times in defence today. Possibly that's infectious because of Oldham's clear preference for it's an end-of-season fixture with nothing on it for them. We've looked a little bit casual at times. We have, by the same token, gone forwards and looked dangerous each time we've attacked. So it's a decisive win for the Lions, presuming it stays this way by the end of the game. But there's certainly criticisms that will be discussed, I think, like Monday morning. Training ground. The 11 on the edge of the Mill penalty, back to goal. He plays it over, lapping to the 17, but Marlon's good enough to cut that out. He's going to go for a goal kick. Holden corner, 76 minutes. Over on the right-hand side of the Mill end. Played it short, it's come back to the 26. He's thrown across in, it's bouncing around. Opportunity's put it over the bar from point blank. Blimey, O'Reilly, number 9 blasted over when the ball bobbled through. Casual defending again from Millwall. Let's say it, casual defending. Falls to the 9 in front of goal, puts it over the bar from point blank range when it was easier to put it into the net. We've lived on our luck a little bit in the second half. The ball, that was poor defending actually, the ball was floated in. The defence has let it drop and falls to number 9, who's put it over the bar. Oh wow, what a miss. That's incredible. Couldn't score in a brothel, says the West Upper. The Mormons are leaving. One of the most disconcerting sights at a football ground I've ever seen. 3 blokes dressed in grey suits. Mormons, Jehovah's Witnesses, what were they? No one knows. Were they aliens amongst us, living amongst us and looking like us? Some gesturing going on. Fisticuff signs and now larrikination camp signs. I'm guessing there's someone reacting in the Oldham end. Long way to come for a 3-0 whip loss, I've got to say. Younger listeners will wonder what I'm on about with Larry Grayson camp signs there. If you even know it, you don't. I'm sorry. I'm not going to explain these jokes to your younger listeners. I might not have any younger listeners. I might have a whole listenership that knows exactly what I'm talking about. What do I know? Panicky ball back to the goalkeeper who hoofs it out of play. There's a bloke dressed as a zebra. I'm trying to see round a corner and see what's going on. There's a bloke, looks like dressed as Fred Flintstone. And a bloke in a zebra kit, I think. I'm going to go back to my normal seat. I can't be bothered with these shenanigans, listeners. The inimitable mwit of the den. You're fat and you've lost your mate. This is to the Oldham end. One bloke's got slung out. The other bloke clearly disgruntled. The high-vis stewards are surrounding the pitch. As if to say, don't run on the pitch, lads. What do you think is going to happen, listeners? I know what I think is going to happen. The thing is, when I look at most of these stewards, I mean, they're all worthy people. There's ladies down there. They're not going to stop anyone from running past them. This is all a show. They're even surrounding the empty away end. I don't know what's... Maybe ghosts are going to run past them or something. I don't know. Game being played out now in a kind of a end-of-season kickabout mode. Phil Pott in for Taylor. 88 minutes, 89 minutes, beckons. 12,400. Decent crowd there, listeners. It's been a while since we've seen a crowd at that level up down the bend. Good applause for Chris Taylor, he's done well today. That's the final whistle. End of the game, kids surge onto the pitch. Congratulate Jordan Archer. Surrounded Jordan Archer. There's a bundle going on the goal. They want to keep Archer away from that. I know it's all high spirit, high jinx. Mr. Byer for now has his annual moment of panic. No, there's Archer surrounded by a bunch of stewards now getting away. There was a little bit of a moment where the kids were crowding him in the goal. We don't want any injuries as a result of people running on the pitch, do we, dear listeners? 3-0 win. 3-0 full-time score. Relaxed 3-0 win. Some good performances by the Lions there today. Byron, I want to pick out. 2-goal Byron. Solid defending from Byron. Moments at times where we were a little bit casual, having said that in defence. Overall, however, we look good going forwards. That was a relaxed convincing 3-0 win over a team that were clearly minds elsewhere in Butlins or somewhere else. I don't know where. As it is, we're going to leave you with scenes of joyous fans on the pitch, people running around, police line up to prevent any taunting of Oldham fans. It's no big deal at the moment. That's the end of the game. End of a good season at home. Who amongst us thought back at the start of the campaign that we would finish up in the playoff positions? We're going to close out there. I don't particularly want to see big kids running around the pitch, to be absolutely frank with you. We're going to close there. I'm going to be right back after these messages of Glenn from This Is Millwall.
Achtung.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hey, Dave.
Yeah, Randy.
Since we founded Bombas, we've always said our socks, underwear, and T-shirts are super soft. Any new ideas?
Maybe sublimely soft.
Or disgustingly cozy.
Wait, what?
I got it. Bombas. Absurdly comfortable essentials for yourself.
And for those facing homelessness.
Because one purchased equals one donated.
Wow, did we just write an ad?
Yes.
Bombas, big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase.
Finding your perfect home was hard, but thanks to Burrow, furnishing it has never been easier. Burrow's easy-to-assemble modular sofas and sectionals are made from premium, durable materials, including stain and scratch-resistant fabrics. So they're not just comfortable and stylish, they're built to last. Plus, every single Burrow order ships free right to your door. Right now, get 15% off your first order at burrow.com/ACAST. That's 15% off at burrow.com/ACAST.
Millwall.
Big welcome back to the show to Glenn of This Is Millwall. Been a little while, Glenn, since we've had you on the show, mate.
Yeah, probably the worst day to have me because I'm suffering with a hangover, but we'll see, muddle through.
I think you and a few other Millwall fans. Curious game yesterday. I don't know what your take on it was. I found it, I've written down on my notes here, a curious mixture of high tempo attacking play and quite relaxed defending at times. It was an odd mixture of the two, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was for a game that was, you know, we had to get a point to go to the playoffs. Everything felt very relaxed, and
yeah,
we had all been sitting there in deck chairs, like watching the kids play football. Is what it felt like. It was a strange match. There was no pressure. You know, no one seemed to feel agitated or anything. It just we just sort of walked all over them and then sat back for a bit. So
Oldham were, as a few posted on Twitter, Oldham were very much mentally on the beach already, weren't they? That said, they passed the ball quite nicely when they were motivated, and especially in the second half, they missed some absolute howlers. So every time we went forwards, there was a chance of a goal, and it's been a while since we've been able to say that about a Millwall side.
Yeah, I was just trying to think, actually. It probably was the last time we got promoted or the first season up, wasn't it, probably?
We did look dangerous every time we went forwards. I think the weight of pressure on the game yesterday was lifted considerably by the early goal, Byron Webster's early goal in the fifth minute. And I think thereafter, no, there was an oddly end of season kind of feel to the whole thing, wasn't it?
That's a good way to describe it. It felt like an end of season game rather than a game that was required for a playoff place. It was,
yeah,
it's very strange. But you know, we managed to make it lively ourselves, didn't we? The crowd managed to get it lively with.
It's a good crowd and good voice as well. 12,000, you know, it's been a while since we've seen the den that full, for obvious reasons, I suppose, since the Championship days, really. And I felt it was an interesting mixture, I felt, because Oldham were, they weren't a great side, but you could see that potentially, like a few of the recent opponents we've had, they can pass the ball, and they actually created danger. I'm a little bit concerned, Glenn. I think this is probably what I'm bobbing around here, that our defence at times looks a little bit open, because we're going into playoff football now, and it's going to be a different gravy in the playoffs, isn't it? We can't afford to be that open in defence as we've allowed at times recent opponents.
Yeah, I'd say that, you know, I don't think that was overly a problem until the second half, where I feel like they started going to sleep. I mean, I remember tweeting that, you know, I know we're 3-0 up, but if I was Harris, I'd be going berserk with how max they got. And then about 30 seconds later, Harris got the ball and absolutely went ballistic at them and threw it on the ground, which got a bit of a wave from the away fans. But I think that sort of showed that, you know, he was getting wound up with them being a bit more relaxed. I mean, to be fair, I might have been relaxed with the amount of shots they on target and missed from, you know, a yard out. So perhaps the pretend of us thought, what's the point?
I mean, the Oldham didn't look like a side that cared overly much. They didn't. I mean, one or two of their players looked like they cared more about getting the pies and chips in on the route home. I mean, the number seven particularly took a bit of flack for being fat, and you know, often from blokes equally as fat, incidentally. But
we're not paid, you know, $100,000.
No,
do it. You know.
So it was an odd game in some ways. I suppose the storyline for me yesterday obviously was the two goals from Byron Webster, and then he almost got a hat trick in the second half, didn't he? There was an opportunity to make it three. I think Byron is. I know that yesterday was Player of the Season day, and we'll come on to that in due course. But I want to pick out Byron here, Glenn, because earlier in the season, I'll put my hand up. I was quite harsh on him. I didn't think he had the, the qualities required. Yeah, but he's proven me wrong. He's proven a good few of us wrong, and I'm very glad to be proven wrong, because I take my hat off to him. I think he's come along leaps and bounds, and that was a performance yesterday from him, an attacking performance.
Yeah, I think I said before, a lot of us criticised him, maybe a hangover from when Holloway was still in charge as well, but, you know, we've seen quite a few players Harris has turned around, but I just specifically remember that it was Peterborough away where, even though we lost, like, Webster looked a different gravy. Like, he come on all of a sudden, like, he was giving it a bit of a go. And then after that, you know, it's a different player.
Well, he seems to be enjoying himself. I've just been reading on the House of Fun. Jay's on there saying how, you know, he seems to get us. Last week up at Bury, I was up there, and at the end of the game, after the teams had cleared, he came out for the warm down on the pitch, and he actually came over into the stand where the Millwall fans were gathered for some pictures with some kids, maybe he knew the family or something. And yesterday, he seemed to be actually enjoying himself. I think there was another post where he made an effort to go over to see David Hay for, a picture with David Hay. He seems to be enjoying his football at the Den, and that's a huge step forwards for the boy in his career. It's fantastic to see.
Yeah, I mean, it's hard as well. I mean, we you know, he got picked up when we were not doing so great. We were basically, you know, on the way to relegation, and then, you know, bad start to the season. So
yeah.
It's a bit like the kids, you know. A lot of times we bring the kids in when we're not doing well, when we think all these kids aren't good enough. But then you look at it now, when you bring the youngsters through, when things are going well, it gives them the confidence to express themselves. You know, Ben Thompson may not have been as a bright spark if he was brought in during a relegation battle when the rest of the team is negative. So, you know, when you've got positivity running through the fans and the team, I think it can help you with your football for sure.
And we've got a quote here from Neil Harris after the game. Neil says to John Kelly of News at Den, we've got players with good quality delivery, scoring more goals from set pieces. That was something we had to address. And Byron, I think, is now being used as an attacking threat. And these balls into the box, he's a big boy. He scored twice yesterday from similar situations.
Yeah.
And he's almost becoming a John Terry-esque, you know, attacking threat, minus the sense of unease around your wives and girlfriends, you know. I think he's a real asset to the team. I just want to... I think as it's the weekend of the Player of the Season, we all know Jordan Archer. We saw what he can do yesterday as well. And Lee Gregory, that's another story. We'll come on to Steve Morrison, but I just think it is worth mentioning Byron, because I think it's a fantastic journey the boy's been on, and there still seems to be some way to go for him. So hats off to Byron Webster, in my opinion. So, yeah, a 3-0 win cements playoff football, which is a fantastic achievement in itself, Glenn, isn't it? I mean, who'd have thought that back in August?
I think so, and I think anyone who says, oh, we should have been automatic or we should have gone straight back up is living in La La Land.
Yeah. I agree.
When have we ever come down and gone straight back up again? We haven't ever in my time going anyway, 20-odd years. So, you know, both times, you know, it's been poor. We've had bad managers. We get stuck in the division about 2-3 seasons before we even get a sniff of,
yeah,
you know, the top half. So, to do it first, to get in the playoffs first time round with a first time manager,
yep.
With a team that, you know, basically made up of peanuts.
Yeah.
It's incredible, I think, so...
I think it's one... I mean, I'm wary of going over the top on these things. I stretch back a long way in my Mill career, but I'm trying to think... There have been better achievements for Mill, clearly, but this is one of the best achievements, and I think that's a fantastic thing to say for Neil Harris in his first season of management. You know, clearly, the playoffs... Well, there's an element of lottery to them. We don't know how it's going to work out, and... Okay. You know, who knows what will become of us. But the achievement from relegation, with a team and a club bereft of self-confidence, thanks to various managerial choices, to have turned it around in this way, I think it's one of the Millwall stories ever, because, you know, I would have said mid-table respectability, many others around me, sages around me would have said the same. And to be in the frame at the end of the season, third is, you know, is a possibility, depending on Walsall v Fleetwood tomorrow.
Mm.
Massive achievement, absolutely massive achievement.
Perhaps I would go as far as to say, and, you know, if you go on the situation and, you know, as a situational viewpoint, if we got up in the if we got promoted in the playoffs, it'd be one of the greatest achievements our club has ever.
I agree. For the circumstances that we've been in, I mean, to finish where we have now, as we've just said, is in itself one of the achievements of Mill history, one of them. And well, if we can get through the playoff lottery, then yes, I put it up there in the very in the top, certainly top five, top three, top four, maybe, I don't know. I mean, just another quality. I just want to pick out another quote while we're talking here, Glenn. Harris said to Kelly again yesterday, "We've got a bond now between the fans and the players, and we have to build on that." And that was in shreds under Holloway and under Lomas, and that is back now, isn't it?
I think it might have been on the podcast before. I said that when the fans and the players are, you know, working together, we're pretty much unstoppable. I mean, you saw it a little bit yesterday when they started winding up that Gerrard.
Yeah.
You know, the fans were distracting their players, and the players were just lapping up and joining in, really. You know, I think that's where Morrison has been my favourite Morrison, I think, since he's been at the club. Is, you know, he's. I always thought beforehand, in the last couple of times he was with us, he never really got us.
No.
You know,
no.
He scored the goals, but I don't think he got the club. And this time it's just like he's loving winding people up and getting involved. And, you know, I think he's enjoying himself for the first time, possibly in his career. I don't know. You have to ask him, but it looks like he's having a whale of a time.
There were some players, and I think we might have said it on previous shows, I think I might have written an article about it in the magazine, but this is an odd Millwall thing. Some players, whether they like it or not, this is their spiritual home, whether they want it or not. And I think at times, Steve, in the past, maybe didn't want this to be his spiritual home. I think he wanted it to be a starting point and a platform, certainly, but to move on elsewhere. He went to the Premier League with Norwich at the time. He's gone to Leeds, where it never happened for him. And there have been other players in the past where their best football and their best days are actually at Millwall, and they never realised it until afterwards. I think Steve is starting to realise that this is the theatre for him, and this is the platform for him, and this is where he truly belongs. And it's an interesting thing to watch unfold, isn't it?
Yeah, it's especially unusual to see a player come back, you know, for a third time and still be... Yeah, you know, it's just, I think it's just meant to be. Just, you know, Darren Ward was another one like that, wasn't he?
Yeah.
For me, he sort of went away and did nothing. And
I'd pick out
Tony Craig as well. You know, he went off to Palace. And
you could even pick out Zach Whitbread, who, you know, they play for the Lions. Maybe they don't want to be playing for the Lions. Maybe they don't like playing for the Lions. But it turns out afterwards that was their best days, because I can't think of much else that Zach Whitbread has done or gone, what places he's gone to, where he had the same intensity of experience. And it's an interesting thing. Players that leave the Den don't get the same vibe. I was talking to Denzel last week up at Bury. He was in the crowd. And he commented that the intensity of the Millwall experience is something very, very different. You don't get it at places like Norwich and these leafy little, you know, nice places, but you don't get the same quality of footballing experience there. And I think Steve has come to realise that.
Yeah, it's always, you know, it's the famous quote from Tim Cahill, isn't it, that if you can't play at Millwall, then you can't play football at all.
No.
So it is a bit like that. You know, sometimes, you know, maybe we think too much of ourselves, but... You know, the evidence apparently is there that it's an actual thing, you know, where we like to take the mickey with Harry Kane. But he said if it wasn't for his experience here, then
yeah,
he wouldn't be the same. You know, this, and I think it is, you know, it's what attracted me to the club. You know, I didn't know about the reputation, and there was something different about it, and that's why I started going along.
There is something different about it. There is a buzz. There is an electricity for a small club. I mean, you know, we have to, we can't deny that we are a small club. We have a huge impact way beyond the relative size of Millwall as a football club. And there is an intensity to the experience of following it. That's what we all latch on to. That's the addiction that we've all got. Another strike I want to mention, I'm going to get your take on, and I'm picking up a post on the House of Fun here by Jason. And he's headlined it the O'Brien Quandary, which sounds like a Robert Ludlum model, like novel, like the Bourne Identity. The O'Brien Quandary. So Aidan O'Brien playing as a central striker now, where everyone wants him to play. And yet Jason says he's very ineffective. He has got the odd flick, a bit of techers. I don't know what techers is. I might have to have that explained to me late in the second half. But that's about it. Don't want to knock any of our players. But hopefully we can get Lee Gregory back ASAP. I know what Jason's meaning there, because he doesn't look comfortable in the central striking role, and yet he doesn't look comfortable on the wing. And you start to wonder with Aidan whether there's a danger he might not look comfortable in any particular role, but yet be a talent. It's going to be an odd mixture, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, it must be hard as well. I mean, he got dropped, you know, sort of out of, maybe not out of nowhere, but, you know, he did get dropped, and he's a young lad. You know, maybe his head dropped a little bit, and but he has been given a couple, you know, the last few games to sort of grab his spot as such. And I don't think he's been, like, completely useless. He just isn't very noticeable the same way as, you know, you see Lee Gregory. And, I mean, you know, people got on his back, you know, Gregory, for the amount of misses and stuff he had or whatever. But it's like, but he was always there. And that's what I think the difference is. You know, Gregory has that sort of nose for knowing where to be, where the ball's coming, and...
Yeah,
you know, maybe Aidan, that will come to Aidan. He's, you know, he's still, was he 21, 20?
He's young, he's young. I mean, he doesn't, I think Gregory brings a physical presence, which Aidan is a different kind of player. He doesn't bring that kind of, Gregory's a strong boy on the ball, back to goal. I can imagine he's going to be a hard bloke to push off that ball. O'Brien doesn't yet have, or he doesn't have that quality, in my opinion. He has quickness and speed of thought, actually. Mm. It reminds me in some ways of a Thierry Henry. I know that's high praise, and, you know, but it's that style of player where speed and movement is going to be where the key lies for him. He doesn't have Morrison's experience and ability to find space where others won't find it. I just think he's looking at... He's a striker in search of a role at the moment for us, and he's not a winger either. I don't like him played on the wing, so...
He's a sort of person I could see, you know, getting a role in the midfield as a sort of Alex Ray type who sort of...
Yeah, possibly.
And passes, you know, maybe... maybe those few goals in a short space of time, everyone's expectations raised too highly on him.
Yeah.
So, you know, he had a nice little run, but, you know, so did Greg Berry once upon a time. So, yeah, they might say they were their striker and that's what they've trained to be, but you whack them somewhere else and suddenly they're a different player. So.
He came on the other week, didn't he? And he was a substitute. I think when Gregory came out of a game, I can't remember which one it was now, a few weeks back. And he came in, he almost had a free role to go anywhere and do what he liked, pretty much. I'm sure it wasn't, you know, phrased in quite those terms to him, but that's effectively how he played. And I thought that was Aidan O'Brien at his best. He did look effective. He went anywhere, he made the flicks and the moves, which he's got in spades, and that's where he looked dangerous. Whether a team, whether Millwall or any other team for that matter, would accommodate the free role, generally reserved for the likes of, I don't know, Johan Cruyff in the past. I don't know, do you? I mean, it doesn't fit into the modern framework of the game.
It's a strange one. But, you know, again, like, you know, he did create one of the goals yesterday, so...
He did? Yeah. No, I'm not knocking him. I just think he could be better employed. I'm just not sure what that role is at the moment. So we all hope that the O'Brien Quandary, the Robert Ludlum novel, does indeed have a happy ending, because he's a very talented player.
We'll see as well. He's one of those players as well that, you know, probably end up dropping off our radar and gets signed up somewhere else and then goes on to score hundreds of goals as the Millwall way. But
yeah.
You know, maybe he's at the minute as well, is a bit too nice for
Yeah, I think you're right.
He needs to.
He needs to nasty up a little bit. Then he needs to go to. Yeah. Needs to go to Harris School. Get the Harris lessons in there. End of the match. Few kids ran on the pitch. I don't get very hung up on that. It wasn't that major an event, really, but the Twitter goes into a meltdown. I'm just looking at a couple of Oldham Athletic tweets here about how much longer before Mill get reported or put into the dock of public opinion. I think we've been condemned to the public opinion for donkey's years. I don't think we can get any further down in public reputation. I was a little bit concerned about Jordan Archer at one point, though, Glenn. I don't know if you... caught, there's a bit of a bundle in his goal, and that's the only thing that bothered me about the whole thing, the fact that you got a load of fans surrounding one of our players. You don't want to get him injured or anything of that kind.
No, I mean, there was a few things, just, I mean, not the pitch invasion thing. We know some of our own fans as well, it's like, all these day trippers, blah, blah.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, it's a bunch of kids.
And
having a, you know, letting them, like, do, like, cartwheels and stuff on the pitch, it doesn't really...
Yeah.
I don't, you know, I mean, I don't get lap of honours. You know, I've seen the players.
I couldn't give a shit, actually. I left, you know, I left. I wasn't interested. But, you know, some people like that kind of thing, don't they?
Yeah, well, you know, I don't understand it. You've seen them, you know, 23 home games already. walk around a pitch and, you know, save that lap of honour for Wembley.
And there's football still to be played. That's what I didn't get with the whole, with the players will come back out thing. It's, we're in the playoffs. That win assured the playoff, playoff football. This is yet to unfold. But anyway, that's what...
Yeah, well, I mean, there's a couple other things as well. I mean, I said as well, they should... In fact, I think I said it live on me Periscope thing that I was doing. But I said they should sub that, Gerard, because... If people run on the pitch, a couple of people would probably go after him.
Yeah.
You know, he reaped what he sowed, really. He mouthed off at the crowd.
Yeah.
And offered them out, so, you know, well...
He did, yeah. Silly boy. I mean, I remember years ago, Jason McAteer, in a similar kind of situation, the semi-final, but he was substituted, and they got him out of the picture, and I think that's what, you know, Oldham's management should have done, because the game was lost from their point of view, and Gerard, Anthony Gerard, Stephen's cousin... could only do bad, really, couldn't he, from there onwards? And when people are running on a pitch, yes, you will get you'll get silliness.
Yeah. The referee, I mean, like, you know, at the end of the day, it should have, you know, it should have happened with, you know, but that's how it is, really, isn't it? But it's another thing as well, like, you know, the referee shouldn't have just blown up. He should have sort of indicated, like, get ready to leg it.
Yeah, yeah. 3-0,
But, you know, it's the complete meltdown on Twitter and social media is just hilarious. So apparently, like, we're the only football club ever to have a end-of-season pitch invasion or, you know, if a team gets promoted, you know, all the fans, or they survive relegation, they run the pitch and whatnot, and then that's considered, oh, you know, the fans are... delighted, but, you know, with Millwitz, oh, they, you know, they've come to axe murder your wife and kids. But...
Well, we lurched from being neither scary anymore or not famous anymore into being like the scum of the earth, don't we? I mean, I always think you can't have it both ways, but people do want it both ways. It's a pantomime villain role that we play in football, and if we didn't exist, yeah, Glenn, yeah, they'd have to invent us, mate. So,
well, that's the thing, isn't it? They say, oh, you know, you've got to stop living off your reputation, but that's what the media loves living off is our past. So how you ever, you can never move forward if everyone keeps... to get your past, can you? So no, there we go.
There we are. That's
still part and parcel of being a Millwall fan. It's part sometimes a bit annoying, but at the same time, absolutely hilarious. So,
very, mate. Very true, mate. Now, how playoff football to come? You got any preferences as to who you'd like to face over two legs?
I know everyone says, "Oh, I hope we don't get Bradford," but at this point, I'm like, do you know what? Let's just get the bastards and we owe them one. You know, I don't want them to be on the Wigan. You know, Wigan just seem to be on forever.
A fear factor. I mean, Walsall play Fleetwood tomorrow. Fleetwood need points. They're down in the relegation zone. I think if they can get a win, then I think that keeps them up. So there's something in it for Fleetwood at least. I would expect Walsall to beat them tomorrow. That will put them into third place, leaving us fourth with Bradford 1 point behind us. So the likelihood is that either we'll either have Bradford away first or we'll be at home to Bradford first, whichever way round we finish. I don't personally care. I think you've got to face all these teams at some point if you want to expect to win the playoff tournament.
The thing, isn't it? We say, we don't want Bradford because we want to go up, but then we're going to be in Championship football and playing better teams than Bradford week in, week out. So if we can't beat Bradford, then maybe, you know, we're not ready for Championship then, are we? So.
Totally. I mean, there's an outside chance we might be facing Barnsley or Scunthorpe. I mean, Walsall's a possibility, but...
Yeah, Gillingham can still get in there as well, I think.
Gillingham can creep in with a win next week, so,
it's definitely incentive to win next week.
Yeah, that's right. Keep them out. But no, I mean, I make you right. I think whoever we get, home foot leg first, away leg first, it shouldn't make any difference. We've
proven that as well. You know, the two times we made a final, we played Leeds away, allegedly one of the most feared grounds in the country, and we took the piss. And then we won our second leg against Huddersfield. So we've proven that we can do it. And that's what I said. Maybe I think that fear factor of the playoffs has gone really now that we've won it.
Yeah.
The oh God, we're in the playoffs. We're going to get, you know, beaten 6-0 by Derby or whatever. That's gone now. It's like, well, you know, we've got a chance here. So,
well, I think the unexpected nature of the season, none of us expected to be in the playoffs at the end of it, and the fact that it's now come to pass means it's a bonus. It's a happy outcome for a season that many of us wouldn't have thought would have been there. So whatever becomes of us in the playoffs, it can only be good stuff. It's certainly, you know, even League One next season, as I think we said on last week's show, is not looking such a bad prospect with some of the teams coming up and down into it. It's not going to be quite so northern. So hopefully we can get through the playoffs back to the Championship, which would be fantastic. But League One is not such a bad deal if we do stay.
Yeah, and at least we're guaranteed 6 points for Charlton coming down. So it's a good start to the season, isn't it? But, I think... I know a lot of people, you know, maybe it's because we've all seen it, you know, a lot of us have seen it all before, but this has actually been quite a fun season because it was this, like, you know, old Millwall, you know, the team played like we've got a Millwall team, and the fans have been back to being hilarious and taking the piss out of everywhere we go.
Yeah.
So it's been quite fun. I think, you know, I wouldn't want to stay any more than two seasons. If we don't make it this year, I think we need to...
No, we need to press on, that's for sure.
Press on next season, but... you know, this one, I'll say, was probably the Brucey bonus.
Well, I think it was a year ago, Neil stood up at the player dinner, end of season dinner last year, and promised words to the effect of our Millwall will be given back to us. And as you've just said rightly there, Glenn, we do have our Millwall back, and that's all most of us ever wanted, really. But I make you right. I mean, we don't want to be sitting around in the third division for too long. But there's a chance we can get up this season, and let's keep our fingers crossed. The Championship needs us, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, football needs us. You know, was it David Ford saying, wasn't it? Yeah, the Premiership needs me, because it's so bloody boring there. So
there you go.
one day we'll go up there and upset everyone. So.
Fantastic. Really appreciate your time, Glenn. Thanks for coming on the show, mate.
No worries.
Good to have you back. Wish you well for the summer. I'll talk to you next season.
Yep, see you.
Whichever league we're in. Mm-hmm.